It may be, IVS got very, Don Luce was very sensitive about anything that might have CIA connections.
Uh-huh.
I think they were much more cavalier about that in Laos.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, there's some stories going around that some of the Laos people worked for the CIA.
And if not necessarily while they were IVS, shortly after when they were AID.
Right, or even while they were IVS. There are some, I've heard people speculate, I don't know.
That's speculation, but I've had somebody tell me he was CIA afterwards.
Well, okay. But yeah. that some IVSers were working for CIA.
So we're talking about Jerry Klewer in California and about David Gettleson.
Right, and Roger Heinze.
And Roger Heinze, right.
Would know about Gettleson. Jerry Klewer went back to his village in the Delta about a year ago and wrote a really touching newsletter about it, 4 or 5 page long letter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Where was that published?
He published it himself.
Uh-huh.
Some kind of desktop publishing deal with pictures and everything else.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, he sent the copy.
Good.
Yes, yes, yes. Wonderful color photographs, right, and everything like that. And I felt so bad for me to have to make a photocopy and keep the photocopy while I sent the original to Mark, because I wanted those beautiful photographs for myself.
Oh.
But after all, Mark has got California, so I I had to be the good research partner and play fair.
I went back to Vietnam in 1988. For a visit on one of Don Luce's trips.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, we didn't go to any place where I worked.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, travel was restricted, much more so than it is now.
Uh-huh.
I could go back now and go back to every place where I used to live, but you couldn't then. But we went to Hanoi, and Hanoi, Da Nang, Hue, and Saigon. And Saigon was the only place that I had really been before.
Mm-hmm.
But it was quite nice.
I was looking at another question here, and I think perhaps that you really have answered it effectively anyway, but I'll just say, what was the effect of your pre-IVS anti-war activism, which perhaps was not the right way to say it,
right,
on your attitude / work / political analysis in IVS?
I don't think my attitudes toward the war changed when I was in IVS.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, they became I don't know if they're not better informed, because I had really studied the Vietnam, everything, I read everything I could find about Vietnam when I was in college.
Uh-huh.
Junior and senior.
Even before the IVS
before
experience
I, went to,
I was
came
very
up. Interested in, well see, mm-hmm. I was a member of a group of students, a committee that was organizing all the stuff about Vietnam.
Yeah, and the debate sessions and the
debate
like.
Sessions. And sometimes we wouldn't have, sometimes the conservative person who was supposed to represent the conservative side, the hawk side, wouldn't show up. And so I would
so
argue the
that.
Other
uh-huh.
side.
Uh-huh.
So I really, I mean, I read everything that I was really interested in it. And so being in Vietnam for 2 years really made it personal.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I've done a lot of research and study, especially in Vietnamese history,
mm-hmm.
since then. And culture and so on, in graduate school, but mostly now I'm interested in history.
Yeah. So would it be fair to say that the college experience preconditioned you?
Well, it certainly gave me a perspective. I mean, it gave me some depth.
Mm-hmm.
I knew very little about the society and, you know, culture of Vietnam when
mm-hmm.
I was in college. I knew something. I knew a little bit about the history. I knew a lot about the history of the American involvement and all
mm-hmm,
the different
mm-hmm.
stuff that had been signed and promised and agreed to and all that nonsense. No, the most important thing about the whole experience was just the simple thing of living in a war.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else that's like it in life.
No, I know.
Where people,
well, I don't know, but I can easily imagine, know, even from my own limited.
You can't. It just, you know, it's a whole different attitude about human beings and the value of human life, and
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of others, and it was American, and it was racist, you know. I mean, the Americans had no concept of the value of a Vietnamese life. It wasn't the same as an American life. But it was just the idea of living someplace for a period of time, relatively, in relative safety. I mean, I wasn't directly threatened a lot. Now, here and there, sort of.
What do you mean, here and there, sort of?
Well, I got shot at a couple times.
Deliberately?
Yeah, well, I didn't do it. Yeah.
I mean, someone was aiming for you personally.
Right.
Not just
a... my reaction to it was very peculiar. Well, one time I was in one of my bright red shirts in Three Corps. I told you when where people didn't like Americans very much. And I was standing in this field looking out over something or another. And I'm standing here, I'm all up by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear something flutter by in the air, kind of. That was strange. And then I heard the sound of a rifle shot. A minute later, I got half a second.
Yeah, back. Yeah, the sound travels slower.
I thought, geez. And then I heard another one. And then it bang. And I, you know, somebody shooting at me. And I thought, I'll be goddamned. And then another one of these things go by. And I thought, I was really upset. I was angry at this person. I said, "What the hell is he shooting at me for?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he? You know, I'm not here to hurt anybody." I mean, but it was like an insult. And I thought, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, I wasn't gonna give anybody the satisfaction of, you know. And then I thought. Then it occurred to me, you know, you could get killed.
Sooner or later, he's going to learn how to shoot.
and so very slowly and very deliberately, I turned around and walked away.
Whoa.
I didn't duck. I didn't run. I just turned around and walked away. I mean, I was really upset. I was affronted by this. And then the...
good choice of words.
Yeah, and then the other thing the other experience...
The effrontery of this.
It wasn't right. And the other experience I had was when I was leaving on K, and I was driving this stuff back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I had this pistol. I had this pistol on. And I had my car. And I got a full of crap. Full of buckets and whatever else, and I'm driving from Onkay and I'm heading down toward Quinyon, and it's a overcast, chilly, kind of drizzly day, and the bridges along the road were all guarded by Korean
mm-hmm.
Army, the Capital Division was there. Well, I come barreling down to this bridge, and I see that it's kind of like a puff of white smoke hanging over this bridge, and this guard, a soldier, comes out and waves me to stop. So I stop. And so this guy comes around and he starts talking to me in Korean.
Oh, yeah, right.
Very fast, very excited, and he keeps pointing at the bridge. And you can see the this white smoke is kind of drifting away now. And he points up at this huge hill which is overlooking all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the picture, and in the middle of the bridge there's a kind of like a little hole.
Uh-huh.
I get the picture that somebody is shooting rockets at the bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this guy, the Korean, wants me to get out of my car and get in this ditch.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants me to do. and I figured, no way. And by then I was really kind of like strung out. I mean, I was really, I'd been there a long time and it was pretty tense. And I figured, the hell if I will. And I wasn't angry at the guy with the rocket. I was angry at the Korean. And I thought,
he's trying to save your life.
I didn't care. I said, I'll be goddamn, I'm not getting out of this car. I'm just going to sit here. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at him, and finally he stops talking and he's just kind of looking at me like, you know, how stupid can you be?
I'm wondering the same.
I'm sitting here in this car, which is idling, right by the bridge, looking up at this mountain, and I'm not going to move. I don't understand Korean.
Jay, you've got a streak in you.
I didn't understand Korean. I don't know what he said. I'm just gonna sit here, and I looked down at this pistol I had on, and I looked up at this, and I thought, you know, this pistol is worse than nothing. It's worse than nothing. I could get killed for this pistol. But anyway. It was just kind of like, this is a big stupid game and I don't want to play anymore. You know, and so I'm just going to sit here. And then, it kind of occurred to me that really, I'm in a bright blue car on the road right by the bridge that this guy's trying to blow up, you know? I mean, how much is it for him to aim just a little over? It did occur to me, you know, the whole thing was absurd. It was all stupid. It was all dumb. It was all meaningless. And it didn't matter at all. So anyway, but I did think, you know, well, and then so then another truck was an American Army truck, two of them, actually. Great big 5-ton trucks were coming the other way at about 90 miles an hour.
Well, you're in the road.
Well, I was over on my side of the road, so that was okay.
Right.
So, but they're coming toward this bridge at about 90 miles an hour. Well, this little Korean guard turns around and starts to wave these guys down, right? They didn't even slow down. But as soon as he turned around, I popped it in gear and went. I was gone. But it was, you know, I mean, it really had just become absurd after a while. It was just too much. It was too tense. You didn't have any way to deal with it. You know, there weren't any outlets. There wasn't anybody you could talk to, and there wasn't anybody you could, you know, you couldn't. It was all stuff that was out of anybody's control. And it was meaningless. Didn't make any sense anymore.
Consequences, but without meaning.
Yeah, I mean, it was irrational. So it was probably a good time to go home.
Yeah, I would think so, at least as far as Japan.
Yeah, no, Japan was great. I mean, that was because it was quiet. The only thing that I couldn't deal with, the Japanese are very fond of fireworks, and the fireworks upset my stomach. I mean, I couldn't deal with the fireworks. And when I came back to this country, I would, 4th of July, I'd hide for years.
Yeah.
It just sounded the same. And one time, when I first went to Japan, it was so quiet. It's just so peaceful and so nice. And I was staying with this professor and his family from Earlham. And he had little kids. And so I'm in the kitchen one day making toast or something. Mm-hmm. And I'd been there for a couple of weeks. And I was relaxing, and one of them had a paper bag and blew it up and broke it. And I was flat on my stomach on the floor before you could say anything. It was just complete, you know, just a complete reaction.
How did the kid react?
I surprised him.
Oh, yeah, I think you did. He probably... probably the last time he was going to do that. Seen that kind of reaction.
I think he got a reaction he wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I mean, he probably wanted to just, oh, you know?
Yeah, I didn't even know if he was doing it for me. I didn't think he thought about my being there.
Okay.
It was just a loud noise.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Let me ask you a question about something that I was confused at in here. And I have to, normally I would make a note about question number whatever. So I'm going to have to pause while I look for this here.
Okay.
I'm going to put this back on again just so that I can remind myself how about something else. That Asia Foundation thing,
yeah.
That was, I found that in a reference of something else. And it just occurred to me that that was around the time when you were there. So I thought,
I remember hearing about it.
I
don't know much.
So it was a fishing thing for me to find out if you were involved in that. That's all. Just to see what the scoop was on that, because it was just a quick and relatively cryptic sort of comment, you know. And I figured, here's a good example.
I think that there was some suspicion that it was a tie-in with CIA money.
That's been said frequently about Asia Foundation. Yeah. I really don't know if that's true or to what degree, you know, because some people will say, well, you know, Asia Foundation had this panel and they invited the CIA representative. Are they linked to the CIA? You know.
Well, Don Luce was paranoid for anything to do with the CIA. He wouldn't have anything to do with them.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not. You should have seen the CIA guys in Vietnam.
Yeah.
They were a scream. Everybody had their own kind of car. The USA guys all drove Scouts. Somebody else had Jeeps. And the CIA guys all drove around in Ford Broncos. And they all wore sunglasses with the reflective lens, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they were like the California Highway Patrol or something.
Like chips.
These young guys all dooted up, and they all had special holsters for their guns and stuff. I mean, they were, and you could spot them a mile away. They were...
But no, I found the reference. It was in the very last question, number 9. Please share anything else you believe was important to your IBS experience. And first thing, I understand completely, no problem. I'll just read it, though. Overall, I got much more out of the experience than the Vietnamese did.
Sure.
But it's the second thing. You said, it is difficult to separate the, quote, IBS, unquote, part of the experience from the, quote, Vietnam part.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Experiences here.
Yeah.
There's the experience of the war in Vietnam, and then there's like the Peace Corps experience.
Okay, Peace Corps-esque.
Peace Corps-esque experience. Well, IBS was essentially a Peace Corps experience. It just happened to be in Vietnam. If it happened to be in Laos, it would have been a very different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Or Liberia or Algeria or anywhere else that IBS has worked. Or if I'd have gone with the Peace Corps into Ethiopia, there's certain elements of it which would have been the same, but it would have been a different experience. I'm not trying to think of when there was, because there was a war in Ethiopia for a long time, but so there's the two threads to it. There's the Peace Corps-esque kind of, you know, IVS version of that.
Yeah.
And then there's the anything to do with the Vietnam War part of
okay,
it.
Okay, so you didn't really mean Vietnam the country, you meant Vietnam the War.
Yeah, at that time and place, in that context. There's nothing particularly special about Vietnam that doesn't, you know, that as opposed to Laos or any other culture, you know, I mean, it's an interesting place with interesting people, and they're different from us, but that's true everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was the situation at that time, you know, with all that as it goes, you know, so it all melts together, and it's very hard for me to separate out what was profound about the experience as what was...
Because of the overshadowing war.
As opposed to what was profound about the environment.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that final sentence sort of nailed it, at least for me.
Okay, well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay, so the only thing I'd say is there anything else that you wanted to say? Because I'm pretty much at the end of mine.
No, I can't think of a single. I've about talked myself out.
Okay, all right. Well, then I'd just like to thank you.
Well, listen, Paul, I've enjoyed it. It's always, it's helpful just to be able to go back and talk about it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little different perspective. I'll think about it for a while, and I'll think about some things.
I think a lot of people that I have spoken to have said that, some with, you said thank you, and you obviously mean it. But I mean, some people, particularly those outside of areas where there are other IBS folks,
right,
are desperate to speak about it. Where at least here you have a network of folks in the area. If you really want to, you can get together with somebody.
And I do.
And you do.
On a regular basis.
Now. Yeah, and Washington D.C., the metropolitan area, is just a crossroads for many folks coming in and out all the time. And I have people in my Peace Corps group who are in the area, about 5 or 6 of them. And I don't see all of them all the time because they're just tired of seeing everybody all the time.
Right.
But I will see Carl and Judy every time because I just happen to like Carl and Judy a great deal, you know, and they just happen to like me a great deal, and they visited me down there.
Did you go to any of these Peace Corps reunions?
I did once, the 25th, on the Mall here in D.C.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was the time when Cory Aquino was coming, so I wanted to see her.
Sure.
And I arrived just too late for that. I don't like them.
We organized the ones for the IBS people. I mean,
I should turn this thing off.
Yeah, you might as well.
Yeah.
We're done.
Bye.